you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 4 and then jump to verse 10 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Woo! Oh, here's some good reading today in Philippians, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah.
How are you and your quarantine self doing?
Yeah. Well, actually, on Wednesday, I finally had a guest in the studio, Rob Seidenberg, and it was like, it's been a couple months, and I think you and I haven't met up. Gosh, it's been a couple months, too. So at least we still get to connect via the phone lines, but yeah, I had a Zoom meeting with the guys yesterday, and we all were talking about the social distancing, and now some restaurants are opened up. I guess the Beef House in Indiana, and much of Indiana is being opened up, and people were loving dining out at the Beef House, and I guess Yoder's is open up. I don't know. I guess the governor doesn't want the restaurants opened yet, but Yoder's decided, hey, we're going to move forward and invite people in and do some social distancing, and we won't have the food bar open, but we'll still provide menus and allow the dining experience indoors. And I don't know how that's all working, because some are saying, hey, let the governor try to shut us down. And, you know, there's all the political side of everything. And then legally, can he really do this? Or is he, some would say, he's going beyond what his office is allowing to do. So, you know, you have all that controversy. But yeah, it was different having somebody in the studio for once, so I could get used to having guests again.
Yeah, well, it's been a while, right? I mean, you know, we're tracking upwards to 60 days now of not being able to do things in person that we normally had done in person, whether it's gathering in church or gathering to do interviews or, you know, even just, you know, when you go out and you pass by, you know, I had to go the other day to Walmart, and, you know, while I thought, you know, wow, Walmart's, you know, comparatively speaking to all the other stores, Walmart is pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
But even busy for them was only 25% of their parking lot open, and I was walking down the back aisle, and I was like, wow. Normally when you're in this store in this back aisle, you would see 50, 60, 70, 100 people. And it was just, I kind of like had the aisle to myself, and it just, you know, it just feels so strange and so weird, or just strange and weird to look down in the store that, you know, like a Walmart or whatever, that was always so well stocked, and you see big empty shelves and, you know, not the things that we normally would see or do. So it's a strange time not to see what you normally see, and then not to see the people that you would normally see.
Yeah.
And when you do see people, I mean, by and large, everybody is kind of monitoring their space,
yeah,
taking care of themselves. You know, they got their mask on, and I have to chuckle. I told the story a couple different places, but, you know, probably two or three times a week I make a run to the store to pick up different things because I try and eat healthy. So, you know, I get vegetables and fruit and that kind of stuff. But I went to the store and I got some lubricant for my bike chain. Now, I didn't know that in order to buy this lubricant, you know, they check an ID. You can't just buy this
stuff.
So I'm at the self-checkout, and I checked out, you know, I scan this lubricant stuff, and the, you know, the light above goes off, and the guy comes over, and he goes, yeah, I need to see your ID. So, you know, I flip open my wallet, and I'm holding my ID up, and I got a ball cap on. I have a mask on.
Oh, jeez.
And he just looks at me, and he looks at my license, and he looks at me, and then he just starts laughing. I mean, it was just kind of the absurdity of the moment. that I could be anybody in that moment. I mean, he doesn't know it.
Yeah. Oh, funny. Yeah, with the mask on, people are saying you can't see people's expressions, you know, barely can see the twinkle in their eye because of, you know, so much our facial expressions, you know, so much is communicated through the nonverbals, through our body language and with the masks and everything.
I mean, just how it turns down the world is that now when I go into the bank, I'm supposed to dress like a robber.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going into the bank, you know, months ago. You know, make sure you take your hood off, no hats on, no facial coverings, no nothing. Now you go to the bank and it's, please wear your facial covering. Don't come in here without your mask on.
Yeah.
You know, and you just think you're going to come up to the door and it's going to say, please make sure you have your mask on, your concealed weapon with you.
Yeah.
You know, please have a suitcase ready to receive your funds.
I don't know if you saw it. This was, I don't know, some weeks ago. It was like a guy going into the bank and the social distancing, they had these footprints where you're supposed to stand, and this was like a guy who didn't kind of know what was going on, so you see him standing and then he leapfrogs from the pair of feet to 6 feet forward onto the where the footprints are, and then he leaps forward all the way to like the kiosk or where the gal would be behind the wall, and then she's not there, so then he leapfrogs sideways onto the other footprints, you know, to see this other teller, and it's just like, I don't know, you know, at least there's some humor through all this situation of people being discombobulated or fearful or in mourning. I mean, you know, there are people dying, but I don't know. It's just a crazy time, and I always have to default to Janet Parshall and Dr. Webb, and I'm thinking Russ Taylor, three people that these can be exciting times because we have the opportunity to share the good news message of Jesus. You know, these are times we can rejoice because God is still sovereign. He's in control. He's still desiring that the good news message of Jesus goes out. And maybe as people are angry or hopeless or fearful, we can bring about peace and comfort and let them see that we're steadied. We know God's in control. Yes, there are some problems we need to work through and situations aren't ideal. But God is good, and these three individuals, they're trying to take a positive spin or saying, hey, these might be these end times, and let's be more intentional. Let's share the good news message that God does love people. And so I'm always just reminded, you know, when we get caught up into this whole crisis and what are we going to do, and you and I have talked about this before off air, before we let this become the whole subject of our day, let's remember the good God that we serve. And even with this passage opened up in Philippians, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves or even force ourselves to rejoice because maybe our tendency is to whine or complain or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, and we're the people of the Word. I mean, we come with the Word of God as an encouragement and as instruction. I mean, and Romans 15 tells us that the Bible is for our endurance and our encouragement. So the way we endure seasons of life, normal seasons and seasons of life like this, is through what the Word tells us. You know, there's a funny meme that I've passed around a few times, you know, and it's one of those where the guy's driving the car and there's a girl in the back seat, and, you know, he says something, and the next picture is her in the back seat, and she says something, and then the next picture is him kind of looking over his shoulder, you know, like, wait, what did you just say? And so in the first picture, he says, I don't read the Bible. It's full of outdated ideas that don't matter. And then it flips to the girl in the back seat who says, well, it does tell you to wash your hands, cook your food thoroughly, and don't eat bats. And that's just in Leviticus. And then in the next one is him kind of looking over the seat like, wait, what? And I think, though, you know, that's a funny little meme. But, I mean, that is the truth, is that God's Word isn't without instruction for us in this time. And that's what Philippians is telling us here that you read. In fact, I love 4 because when we first started talking about, well, what do you want to talk about today? I said, well, I got Philippians open in 4, and you said, so I'll start in verse 10. And I said, oh, read verse 4 also, because verse 4 for me is so important because I can feel verse 4. You know, it's not just Paul just says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's as if Paul is fighting for that joy there. It's as if Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Gosh, it's so hard. Rejoice I'm just going to tell you again, rejoice. I'm going to tell you one more time, rejoice. I'm going to tell you again because you need to understand that it's not that easy.
Hmm.
It's not a one and done. It's not a one, you know, rejoice always, period. It's rejoice always and then contend for that joy. Because you're going to go through seasons of life that are going to rob you of your joy, that are going to attempt to take from you the gift that you have, the joy that you have of being in the presence of God. And nobody, that's what Romans 8 tells us, right? Nothing in all of creation, height, width, depth, anything, angels, demons, the sword, nothing can take you from the joy that you have in knowing the love of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And context is king. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and he's in a Roman jail. Paul's not doing well. Things are difficult for Paul, and he's writing to this impoverished church that doesn't have a lot of means, doesn't have a lot of money, but has given out of their poverty for the love of Paul. They've displayed the love of Christ, the sacrificial kind of love. And I believe that when they did that, they gave Paul a kind of joy that comes because he knew they wouldn't have done that if they didn't know Jesus. People don't give out of their poverty apart from knowing Jesus. You know, and I know that there are some who say, well, you know, but altruism, and I don't believe in that. I believe that only God really moves people. Because when the purse strings get tight, when things get tight, people don't think about other people as much as they normally would. And so Paul says, I want to contend for this joy that comes from Jesus. And then he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern. So he says, listen, I rejoice in the Lord because I see his work through you. I'm feeling the joy of the Lord because I know by your actions and your concern for me that you really must believe in who he is because you allowed him to move in your heart in such a way that you gave out of your poverty to me. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. So Paul says, listen, I didn't even have to write you a letter and say, you know, that missionary support letter that we tend to get from missionaries. You know, Paul didn't send one of those to the Philippian church. They found out that Paul was in prison in Rome. They found out that Paul was facing this difficult situation. And I have to believe the Philippian church prayed, and then they said, let's send Paul some sort of gift to help him. Let's help Paul. Because Paul says, I'm not telling you that I'm in need. He said, listen, I've learned whatever situation I am in to be content. And maybe this season that we're in right now is twofold. Number one, to remind us that our joy transcends our present circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that maybe right now we're getting a PhD degree in what it means to be content. Because that's what Paul is going to tell us now, is that he went to the master class in what it means to be content and to have his joy come from the Lord. Because he says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned. I have, in my Bible, I have it highlighted and underlined like 10 times. I have learned. Because Paul went through something to learn what this meant. And I don't think he went through it just once and was like, phew, I hope I never have to do that again.
Yeah.
I think Paul learned and he learned and he learned what it meant to be content. What it meant to have a lot. What it meant to have a little. What it meant to be full. What it meant to be hungry. What it meant to be starving. Paul says, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And what did he learn? That I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That means what Paul learned in this moment, through this period of time, what he's revealing to the Philippian church, is that the most important lesson that I have is that there is nothing in life that doesn't require the strength of Jesus Christ. There is nothing. From the smallest of things to the biggest of things, every single bit of it is better with Jesus Christ a part of it. And listen, what's funny is my Bible, I have a large print ESV Bible. As I'm reading that passage on that page, I can immediately kind of veer to the right, and I'm looking at the first chapter of Colossians, which says, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So as my left eye is reading, I can do all things through him that strengthens me, my right eye is reading, all things are created through him and by him and for him, and he holds all things together, meaning that he is a part of everything and all things, and therefore his strength is required for the fullness of all things. And so when Paul says, I need Jesus everywhere, that's because Jesus is everywhere. And think how egregious it must be to our Lord and Savior, that there would be parts of our lives where we would be like, I got it. I got this part, Jesus. Or where we would go, yeah, I know Jesus is important, but my gosh, the politicians. But my gosh, the governor. But my gosh, the president. But my gosh, the Democrats or the Republicans. You know, there was a quote I read. Now I'll mess the quote up because it was a while ago and I didn't write it down. But this writer of this scholarly book said that the kingdom of God is always a kingdom that exists within another kingdom. It's a subversive kingdom because we live and we follow the rules of the kingdom in which we physically live, but our allegiance and our heart, our directions and our desires are always for the true kingdom. And so our joy is not from this present kingdom, though there will be some joys, but they'll be temporary. Our joy is found in the eternal kingdom. There will be some good things that come in this temporary kingdom, but my true strength, my true contentness, my true everything comes from the eternal kingdom, the real kingdom, the kingdom in which all things are held together by. And so why would I spend so much time pointing at this temporary kingdom? You know, I need to be involved. I need to know what's going on. We need that. But if I'm not spending the preponderance of my time as a Christian pointing to the eternal kingdom, the kingdom in which my true allegiance, desires, and motivations serve, then how am I to point other people to it? You know, and that's the guy in the front seat going, well, the Bible's irrelevant. You know, it's all about politics. I got to be the girl in the back seat who's going, well, actually, the Bible said a long time ago in the book that nobody wants to read called Leviticus that you should wash your hands thoroughly, that you should love your neighbor, and that you probably should eat things that you shouldn't eat. You know, and that's just in the book that nobody wants to read. Now let's go to the books that everybody loves to read, where it says, you know, that we should be willing to lay our life down for our neighbor, that we should love one another deeply. How about 1 John, where it says, you know, that if you say you love God but you don't love your brother, then you're just a liar. You know, all those things, gosh, we love Jesus till we have to really read his words. And I love how Paul says, you want to know where my true joy is? My true joy was going into this master class of learning how to be content, because in learning how to be content in a season that's probably for Paul was not unlike something that we're going through now, Paul learned that everything is held together by Jesus, and everything requires his strength, and that we should be looking for and glorifying God in everything, not just some things, but everything. And I think that if we were to do that, I think that then we would be able to be like Paul, who says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And I love down, if we even go down a little farther in verse 19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, just as God supplies for me, I know he can supply for you. You know why I know he can supply for you? Because all things are held together by him, and he is the strength of all things. And I believe that, and because I believe that, I believe that he is your supply and your support. He is your encouragement. He is your everything in all things. And I think that that is game-changing. You know, I didn't notice it till earlier this morning when I was looking at this passage in Philippians. And again, you know, my right eye was reading this passage in Philippians, and all of a sudden my left eye caught, all things are created through him and for him, and he is before all things and holds all things together. And I go, Lord, I don't think that it is by chance, because I don't believe in chance, by the way, that you could open your Bible and read those two passages left to right, that God is trying to tell us something about his word and that we desperately need it in this time. And so if you're somebody out there right now who's contending for your joy, if you're trying to find joy in this season and you're struggling and you're failing, maybe the thing that you need to start doing is pointing to all the things in your day and going, I know Jesus is a part of this. I know Jesus is a part of this. I think this is why Paul says to pray without ceasing. Because if you pray without ceasing, meaning you pray consistently and constantly throughout your day about every single thing, and some people would say, you mean I have to pray if I'm going to take an orange or an apple out of the refrigerator? I said, it's not that God wants you to pray if you should have an orange or an apple. It's that God wants to make sure you're focused on him. And so maybe as you take the orange or the apple out of the refrigerator, you'll thank God for the fact that he supplied oranges and apples, for the goodness of the orange and the apple. And so maybe the place for you, the listener, to contend for your joy today is to begin to see that even in the midst of this hardship, God is still active and at work in every moment of your day. And in that, you can become content because as you find him everywhere, you realize he hasn't abandoned you, he hasn't left you, and that he loves you deeply.
I'm looking at that 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's not saying, I can do everything. Look at me, I can do everything.
Yeah.
It's, I can do everything through him. And through him who? Through Jesus. Why? Because he gives me strength. It's only because of his enabling that we can do anything anyway.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the strength like we like to think strength. It's the strength of his love.
Wow. And what a reassuring thing for all of us today. And we can rejoice because of his love, the love that he extends to us while we were still sinners. He died for us. He cares for us. He cares for us in the state we're in right now at this very moment. Whether you're in sin or far from him, he still cares and he's pursuing you. Whether you're the senior saint that's been praying for hours this morning and in his word, yes, he loves you too. But he's a lover of our souls and he wants to equip us for this day to be missional in our work, to share the good news message, to worship him throughout the day, to be in his word, to share with our neighbor, to meet people's needs, and primarily to know him and to rejoice in what a great God he is. So may that be a calling on all of our lives today as we serve this great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, well, I'm ready for the weekend. It's going to be just like another day, another day, another day, but we'll see. Maybe the sun will finally start come out and shine again so we can see it and things can dry up a little. I don't know. I haven't looked at the weather yet lately, but I think we're all itching for some nice weather to be outdoors. All right, everyone. Well, whether you can meet in your church or the drive-in church or the Zoom meeting, stay connected with other people. God commands us and encourages us to not forsake the assembling, so figure out creative ways to meet up with people, to rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.